to Brainstop Barriers. I'm Victoria, and each week we dive into conversations and stories that inspire us to think beyond limits and break down barriers. Today I'm thrilled to introduce many students in grade 12, and they're here to share their exam journey during exam week and DPIB exams and how we managed to get through that. So, can I have each person introduce yourself by your name and your grade?
My name is Michaela, and I'm in grade 12.
My name is Lily, and I'm also in grade 12.
My name is Daniela, and I am also in grade 12.
My name is Tabika, and I'm also in grade 12.
As I said, we all experienced the DP exams during the summer break. So I'd like to ask you guys, what were the things that you feel like the habits that you kind of partook in December that you want to leave in 2024 and you feel like were not beneficial?
I definitely think that one of the biggest habits I have is just getting distracted with my phone while I'm trying to study. So I definitely want to leave those distractions in 2024. And I found that the biggest tool for me to kind of eliminate that is to use either the Screen Time app or there are other apps you can download to kind of block your social media platforms, which definitely help limit your time if you don't have as much self-control as you'd like.
Ooh, I like that.
I would also agree with the challenge being my phone, and it is very frequently distracting me throughout my studies. And yes, I do think having screen time apps is a good way to help that. But another tip that I benefited from was managing my time by blocking in schedules of what subject to study and how long to study for. And I did think it did help my studies.
That's good.
I agree with that, especially the screen time. I downloaded this app called Opal. O-P-A-L.
I mean, you get to choose which apps you want to block. So for me, during exam season, I specifically blocked all social media apps, all like messaging apps? Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, YouTube. Oh. You know, YouTube Shorts gets me.
But then do you find that, are you ever scared? I know some people might be scared to try apps like that because, you know, what if you need a tutorial video on YouTube or something like that? Like, do you ever
Then I have access to it on my computer. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I don't really reach to go, like, I don't really reach for Instagram or YouTube on my computer. That's like a last resort. I feel like the phone is like a habit where it's like I want to scroll really bad.
Yeah.
But
okay, that's actually a really good point. I think a really good tip for people is that if you're nervous to try these like screen time apps, you always have, if you have another device, which is actually not very common to have like more than one device. But if you do have another one, keep in mind that you can access YouTube on your computer. But I think, like she said, a phone is like overall more distracting either way. So like if you think, oh, but I might need Instagram to like ask my friend something, it's not always the best option because you just get into that doom scrolling where you're like, okay, wait, I just saw a reel. So like, let me look at all these other reels. And it's,
Yeah, I totally agree with what you guys are saying. And I think something else that I want to add on to that is that something really important, like a good tool that I use is actually ChatGPT. I feel like AI is a really good tool that you can use for scheduling or like managing your time. Sometimes, actually very recently, I had this assignment that I needed to complete and I was just feeling unmotivated and I was just feeling a little bit lazy and I didn't have any motivation to do it. But what I did was I used ChatGPT and I put in the prompt asking it to like block out sections of my of the day, giving me times on what section of my assignment I need to do. And I feel like having this structured plan and schedule for the day really helped me complete this assignment on time, and it helped me stay motivated and stay on track. So I feel like this could also be used as a tool for exam studying, and you could just input all the courses or all the topics that you need to study, and you can ask it to give you a schedule or even practice questions. And I feel like AI is a really good tool that you can use for staying motivated.
I definitely agree. And something that I used during my studying was a NoteGPT, which basically you can input YouTube links or like really big PDFs of like, say I, for history, I had like a 45 page PDF that obviously I wasn't gonna read like 2 days before my exam because I had other exams to study for, and it was just really not in my favor to read all 45 pages. I just didn't have the time. So I inputted that and it summarized it for me. It also has this AI message like chat where you can ask it questions like specifically like directed to something that you're like wondering, and it will extract it from that PDF. So it's really, you can find resources online, and AI is really useful when you use it correctly, you know?
Yeah, that actually leads me to my next question. Sorry. It's, do you guys recommend, do you have any recommendations for any apps that are accessible to people who don't necessarily want to pay like $20 a month that help you with studying?
I definitely think even specifically for the IB, Revision Dojo is a really good resource to use, because I think it combines a lot of questions from past papers and puts them into a format similar to your paper 1, 2, or 3 style questions, which you can answer and get feedback on. There is a paid version, but the free version allows you, I want to say, up to 20 or 30 charge values, and one charge value gets you the answer, gets the AI to mark your answer. And I definitely just think that it's a really good tool to use throughout your studying to understand kind of what the rubrics are requiring in your answer, and you can kind of from there. Yeah,
that's really true.
Yeah, I think that is, I've used Revision Dojo before, and I think that it's a really good resource as well. And I think another one that is really helpful specifically for IB students, actually this can apply to all students, whether like you're studying AP, IB, or whatever, it can apply to you, but using past papers is a really good resource, because it just gives you a feel as to like the structure of exams or tests, and it also kind of gives you insight into kind of the type of questions that you're gonna be looking for and the topics that you need to study. And if you're for example, this happens a lot if in exam season for a lot of students, I feel like people are leaving exam studying to last minute, and if this does happen, you have to kind of choose where you want to put your time. You obviously can't study the whole syllabus in one or two nights, so if you, like a little tip, if you want to kind of maximize the efficiency of your studying, is going through these past papers and kind of seeing what topics are commonly used in exams or on quizzes, and this can help you kind of maximize the efficiency of your studying. So I feel like this is a really good resource. Yeah,
that's so true also, because I feel like there's so many times where myself and so many students say that whatever they studied was not on the exam, and I think looking at past papers can help you get a feel of what exactly is on the exam, so you don't find yourself studying like 100 different topics and only 2 of those are on the exam. And another thing I would recommend also, if you have access to the app YouTube, which is free, there's 2 really good YouTubers that I recommend. Organic Chemistry Teacher, I cannot recommend this guy enough. He gives so many good tutorials on math, chemistry, I think literally almost every subject. And another one is Khan Academy. Mikhail is going to say that. He is such a good teacher. I actually think that there's so many times where, no offense to my teachers at all, like I just sometimes feel like in class, it can be like 8 a.m. and I'm not really as focused as I should be, and I'm taking notes but not really like processing the information. But I feel like if I have to reteach myself something, he's really good at that. That's what I would recommend.
For sure. And for a wide range of subject areas as well, Khan Academy is just great all around.
Yeah.
That's so true.
What subjects does he have? Like,
I want to say math for sure.
All sciences.
Sciences.
Does he have like English? I swear I saw something like history or something.
It could. Actually, history probably.
Maybe awesome. History.
Maybe.
Let's
Branching off of that, for specifically IB students, this is something I refer to a lot.
She has a favorite YouTuber.
I have a favorite YouTuber that I come to, I revisit every now and then when I have a paper 1, 2, or 3. And basically, well, disregarding this specific YouTuber, there's many teachers that come online and do it, but tutorials for how to write that specific paper, because IB papers are like very like meticulous, and like you have to have a specific way to go about it. So for my history paper 1, there's a very specific like formula you have to follow when you're writing the test or the exam. So learning how to like strategize and like block my time in the exam, like, and learn how to like write for this exam and like not just like blurb all my information and try to like, oh, write information here and then go to this question. Those tutorials were really helpful. And that was by Linterna Education.
Okay, shout out.
Okay. No, for sure. That's really good. And just checking back into that Khan Academy thing.
Yeah.
It covers math, science, history, literature, and computer science.
Wow. Okay, so he's really diverse. I think that's a really good tool.
Yeah.
But also, even if you don't have access to YouTube, you can ask people around you that you know succeed in subjects and get peer tutoring. Like, specifically, Brains Not Barriers, you can sign up to be a tutor or a 2D to get private lessons. But just asking help from your friends or people you don't know, like, I don't think anyone would say no. Like, if if a grade 7 came up to any of us and said, can I have help with something, none of us would say no. You know what
right.
I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
No one would say no. And another resource, I guess, we recommend a lot of IB resources because that's just what we search up, but you can use IB resources if you don't go to an IB school. Like, they're good regardless. I would say the IB English guys for teaching English, they're really good. Lily agrees.
They're very good, yes.
They're really good.
Yes, constantly. I love them.
Yeah.
Wait,
just for like,
those two teachers?
Yeah, those
yeah.
two teachers.
Yes.
Just for formatting essays and also teaching you about literary devices, like, you don't even need to be an IB to use them. They just teach you how to write a good essay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Also, another thing that I feel like is, like, honorable mention, and I feel like, yeah, it's very well-known, Quizlet, but I feel like a lot
yes.
of people, like,
yeah.
overlook Quizlet.
Quizlet's really
mm-hmm.
good.
Quizlet's
it
really
is.
Good, and they have evolved, like, a lot recently. Maybe
yeah.
that's just, like, my perspective, but
yeah,
they, like, Quizlet's, like, actually fire.
Yeah.
Sorry. Like,
yeah,
it's
guys,
really good.
It
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Quizlet, like, I know we do, like, Quizlet Live and, like, it has the flashcards, but when you really, like, sit down and use, like, the,
yeah.
like, the learn thing, like, you can actually, like...
It's so underrated, I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also think that, like, Quizlet's Learn or flashcards, I've never memorized anything easier and, like, faster
exactly.
than I've done on Quizlet.
That's true.
Like, when I used to study for French tests, I used to use Quizlet, and I just memorized it so fast. Something about their mechanism is, like, it's so good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
agree. It is fire. Oh, yeah.
And then another IB resource, which is super helpful, is a YouTube page called Econ Plus Dal, and he goes over a lot of the specific micro, macro, and global economic concepts, and he even has videos on how to structure your paper 1 A and B answers, your paper 2s, your paper 3s, especially those policy questions on paper
mm-hmm.
2 and 3, which are very important for that for your exams. So he definitely just provides a lot of good information, resources specifically for economics.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. I agree. I use him all the time.
Yeah.
Also, something about Econ Plus Dal, he doesn't just do IB econ coursework, he also goes through like GCSE or AP econ as well, so you don't have to be
wow.
an IB student just
yeah.
to use Econ Plus Dal.
Exactly, and that also like it's also a good reminder that any of the IB resources are good even if you don't go to an IB school, because they just teach you more advanced things, and why
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you want to
yeah.
see them? I feel like if you understand the most advanced things, then you can like ace the things that are not advanced, so honestly
absolutely.
These
yeah,
are
exactly.
all pretty good resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
My next question is overall just rating your experience during exam week, and if you could go back and tell yourself mm-hmm. any piece of advice of what to do, what not to do, what would you say? Because speaking for myself, I'll go first. When I was in grade 10 and I had end of year exams, what I recommend and I wish I could advise myself was not to drink espresso. I was shaking. My hands were shaking. I was literally spiraling. I was walking around the room. It was like 11:30 p.m. and I was walking around the room like spiraling. I couldn't focus. I was so stressed, and it was literally because I took 3 shots of espresso. So I really do not advise that. Yeah.
I definitely think that's an experience we can all learn from, to just understand
yeah.
what works for us and what doesn't.
Yes.
Exactly.
For me personally, sometimes coffee does help me. So there's always that like differing experience. So
okay, maybe don't listen to me.
No, that's
yeah,
not what
I
I'm
agree.
Saying. I just feel like different things work for different people.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of understanding what works best for you, and that includes like your study habits and just your other habits as well, is just definitely beneficial to you in exam season. And I know that it may sound a little bit silly or like very simple, but just honestly having the confidence in yourself and knowing that you can do it, and that you are able to like learn these things and perform well in an exam, just like coaching yourself to understand that it's okay to make mistakes sometimes, that you can do it, is honestly really helpful sometimes. So I feel like that's also
mm-hmm.
just a big
yeah.
tip.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree. And I think also it's important to test those things that will work for you, not during exam week.
Agree.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe on a little quiz or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that if I could go back, that's like, this is all really good advice, and I think something that I would do as well is I would tell myself
she's speechless. Waiting for her to come up with that. I'm gonna mention something about what I did. I also don't recommend doing your work in an environment where people are talking, because, yeah, it might be fun
mm-hmm.
at first, but then when you're in that moment with high stress and you're like, wait, it's getting like 7 p.m. and I don't understand anything, then you literally,
yeah.
you start to get angry. Like, from my experience,
for sure.
I start to like, does anyone get like You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Like the feeling of regret
yeah.
is so strong.
Yes.
You're so
yes.
mad at yourself.
And you're starting to get angry with yourself, and then you take it on other people. So please study alone. Like, I cannot suggest, don't ruin any friendships being stressed. I really don't recommend.
The library is a great environment. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Yes.
Even if you do go with your friends, like, the environment, like, it insinuates that you can't, like, talk to each other. Like,
yeah.
You mean, like,
absolutely.
You have to be quiet.
Yeah. And I would set the boundary, too. If you're going with a friend that's really talkative, I would just be like, please don't talk. Or something I say, like, something I would recommend, too, is, like, if you talk, you have to, like, do, like, 3 push-ups or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just so you cannot talk, because it's really tempting.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I kind of blanked out there before.
Yeah.
But,
she got her point now.
Okay, I remembered it now.
Okay.
So what I was going to say is that something that I would tell myself if I could go back is just, like, for studying, I really think that managing time is super important. Like, I know I mentioned this before, but it's just such an important thing. I feel like something that I did wrong when I was studying, not necessarily wrong, but I could have done it more effectively, is that I kind of focused too much on studying topics that I already knew. And since I was on a time crunch, I had to study, obviously, more efficiently. And that's something that I definitely could have worked on, because I was studying topics that I kind of already had an understanding of, whereas the topics that I wasn't really understanding, obviously, I was feeling unmotivated to study those because obviously they were more challenging or complex topics. So I feel like just studying those more like challenging topics first is really important if you're if you only have a short amount of time to study. But
especially for math, oh my gosh, I remember I reviewed like polynomials, that wasn't on the exam. I reviewed
functions.
Like functions, yes, first, and then I got to calculus and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, for sure.
It was just the end of the road.
Yeah, during exam week, sorry, something that I would go back to, going back to that question, something that I regret was just, like, wasting time on, like, things that, like, had, like, I don't know. I feel like I worried so much about, like, these little insignificant things that I thought were going to be on the exams, even when I had a full list of what was going to be on the exam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, I wasted my time, and I knew. It's just, like, I feel like during exams you just overthink, and you always think, like, worst case scenario, what if this happens, how am I, what am I going to respond to that, like, you know what I mean? But
agreed. Adding on to that as well, it's definitely important to look back at your past quizzes and your past papers just to understand kind of your teacher's specific style of questions that they might ask and the questions that they've already previously asked you, because it's not likely that those questions will come back up onto an exam if you had just received that question on a test. So it's definitely good to look at topics in that way. And just about like sectioning your time off for different topics, it's definitely very comfortable just to study the topics that you already know and you're already familiar with, and it's hard to push yourself beyond that to study the more challenging topics, as they've said. But it's definitely really important to just push yourself and do it. Like, your future self will thank you.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just overall, like, work smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
I think spreading out...
Sorry. No, go ahead.
Spreading out your time is so important. I remember I spread out my time for math consolidating last year in March, and I studied over the course of a week. And even giving myself a week, I performed so much better than I've ever performed on a math consolidating or test before, because I just spread out the time.
Yeah.
And then I realized that when I cram, I do so much worse.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think spreading out your time effectively is also really important, not only when you're studying, but also during the actual exam. I feel like during exams, like, obviously there's going to be some questions that you find more challenging or you might not know how to do, but honestly what I would recommend is you go to the questions that you already know for sure how to do, and you go and answer those first, just so that, like, you're not wasting your time on complex questions that you may not know the answer to. Although that could be an effective method for some people, I feel that for me personally, it's just easier and more effective because that's just the way that I can get the most amount of points. For math, for example, like, doing the questions that I know how to do first is just a better option for me.
Yeah, most points possible.
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly. I have another suggestion when studying. So clearly, we all write a lot of exams, like 5 or 6 exams during this period.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is best to organize your studying based on the type of content you do within that subject. So, for example, econ and English are very, like, writing or heavily writing-based subjects. So I feel like in my opinion, I think it's a good idea to spread out your studying for those. So, because you don't want to study econ and English within the same day, because that's a lot of writing practice and your brain's going to get tired. Mm-hmm. Same thing for myself. I take math and physics. Those are both very math-based subjects, so I don't want to be studying those on the same day. I want to be spreading out my time and spreading out the amount of math I do within my studying, or else I'm going to get really tired.
Yeah,
that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
You can get burnt out really fast. That's
yes,
a really good tip.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have two students here that actually write their exams in the student center or in more quiet spaces. So do you think coming from before doing, have you ever written an exam before in the student center?
No.
So you have, right? Have you written an exam where you weren't in the student center before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask Lily this specifically.
Okay.
Do you see like a really big difference between, let's say, even doing any work in a quiet environment versus in an environment where everyone is there during test taking?
That is a good question, actually. I feel like before I got put in the student center, I feel like I was quite frequently distracted by others around me. Like, I was able to get some work done, but at the end of the day, the fact that I had my friends beside me was, like, giving myself the incentive that, like, oh, I can talk to them if I want to whenever I'm bored and I don't want to do work. Whereas being in the student center, I kind of feel that I have to be working. Like, there's no distractions around me, especially sitting in those desks where it's like a cubicle.
Mm-hmm.
I have all, like, my peripheral vision is blocked, so I can't really see anything. All I can see is my work. So I'm given, like, that I have to be working.
Yeah.
So I have never written exams, like, with, like, the whole grade before, but, like, I've written, like, tests. What I have noticed is that I feel like I, like, try to compare myself to, like, the people around me. Like, for example, if I see, like, somebody finishing really fast, and I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna get done, and then I put my whole time and attention, like, all onto that, I'm like, oh my god, I need to, like, and I start worrying, and then it completely distracts me and, like, takes me away from my own exam, and then it just starts this whole thing, and then you start gazing away, and then you get distracted, like Lily said, and it's a whole, like, cycle. And that's what I noticed, like, specifically from when I used to write tests with, like, my whole class, and then everybody in that room is, like, more loud as well, but
yeah I agree. I can see that. Yes.
I have something else to add. I have written exams with the whole grade, and we do it in the gym, which is a huge space, and it's not just my grade in there, it's every single other grade that's writing their exam there. So it also, one thing is that it gets really loud in there.
Echoes.
Yeah, there's a great big echo in there, so it's very loud. It's kind of harder to stay focused and be focused throughout the exam.
Even one time, I think a student dropped their water bottle, and it literally echoed for, like, 5 minutes,
yeah,
so that was painful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, like, overall, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, one time when I was writing an exam in the gym, there was a clock on the wall, and it was dead silent in the exam, and the clock fell on the floor, and it, like, everyone just turns their head, and it was, yeah.
That's, oh, I have another thing. While we were writing our math exam, we opened the page, and the math exam, I just gotta say, was really hard. Like,
yeah,
that
was
one
not
of the,
fair.
That was a really hard exam. So we opened the paper to exam, and everyone in our room went, oh, and then there was, like, reactions, and people were like, oh my god, no, like, everyone was, like, everyone was complaining. Yes, you were there. It was so loud, and I think people were, like, complaining for about 2 minutes before we got in trouble. So, yeah, I think the overall message is that even if you think you might have a learning disability, get it checked, get yourself the help you need, reach out, like, stand up for yourself, because obviously Lily and Daniela, you guys are saying that you guys are so thankful that you work in the student center because it helps you guys so much. And if you think you have a learning disability, like, don't let yourself miss out on getting the benefits and the help that you need if you think that you have a learning disability.
Yeah, don't be embarrassed by it. Because I got my thing really recently, like, this past summer, and I was kind of embarrassed to admit it or, like, talk about it with a learning strategist at our school. And but, like, she was able to help me, like, confront it and be like, okay, like, it's okay, other people have this thing too, so I shouldn't really be scared to go and do it.
Exactly. I think if there's one message that I can push out of these three episodes that I've done, is to not be embarrassed if you have a learning disability, because it's not embarrassing at all, and everybody has some sort of difficulty with learning and doing their
definitely
work. It's not embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's really normal.
It is so normal.
Yeah.
Okay, and with that, I have one last question about what are any experiences that you've had before in school that were just really funny and you want to share in your past? Because we are graduating this year and it's pretty sad.
Yeah.
So let's just like look back on some memories.
Actually, you know what? Today was a very memorable day for me. Besides the fact, we also went on an art field trip, which was very fun.
That was fun.
That was so fun in itself.
Yes.
But today in English class, our teacher is just very funny.
Yeah.
Shout out to Miss Jackson. She actually threatened to make all of us
to email all of our parents,
and she actually made me move.
Yeah, she made me move too.
I tried to say hi to you, and she...
Yeah, she made us move to, like, all quarters of the classroom.
Yeah.
So, that was very funny. I mean, like, it was all harmless, like, laughter, so serious, because it was, like, our last class of the day, but it was just very funny, and, like, those days are, like, the best kind of school days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, also, I had really funny memories in grade 11 with teachers, or even when they used to be allowed in TikTok videos. I think those are my favorite memories. I have so many videos of me interviewing teachers, and it's really, really funny, and I wish I had those still, but all my drafts got deleted, unfortunately. But I really think that, like, teachers can make or break a school experience.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, definitely.
For sure.
They can.
A good teacher can, like, change your life.
Yeah.
For sure.
I've definitely had, like, those teachers that have changed my life, like Dr. Bunton.
Exactly.
Yes.
Dr. Bunton is a legend.
Dr. Bunton, we love him.
Sorry, you know what that reminds me of? That field hockey TikTok you made with Mr. McLafferty and Mr. Biznoff.
Oh my
yes.
God.
That's
that
a good
was
memory.
Really funny.
That's a really
I think
good
I'll always
one.
Remember
I like
that
one.
Yeah.
That was really fun. I think overall, if I had to see like my favorite year so far, actually, I feel like I don't have a favorite year. I feel like I have favorite snippets of every year.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
There's not one year, but I would say if you are in grade 8 or grade 7, like, don't take those years for granted. I think those were one of the best years of my life because you had nothing to worry about. You truly didn't. Like, you would go home and have, like, one test to study for, and that was it. And I'm not discrediting, like, the work you have to do because it is a lot. Like, I was stressed during that time, but, like, don't take it for granted because now when I look back at it, I'm like, wow, like, that was a time to be alive.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
because
it really was.
Sorry,
I
cut you off.
No,
but I think grade 7 and 8, I feel like I personally took life so seriously. I took school way too seriously.
Too.
Like, it was crazy. The amount of time I would put into, like, a drawing assignment for English that was an indigenous medicine wheel that I realistically could have taken me an hour. I didn't need to stay up till 12 a.m. doing that. Like, that's just wild.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, with that, I would like to say thank you guys for joining this episode of Brains Not Failures.
Thank you.
Thank you
for
and
love
having
it here.
Of course. And to the listeners, please like this episode and subscribe to my channel and check out my Instagram, Brains Not Barriers. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and have a great day. Also, please follow these tips because I wish I had someone telling me these tips when I was younger and this year.
Me too.